Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear, lives to respond, and voices to proclaim this good news of salvation, which we know in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in God's Word, we go back to the place where it all began for Simon Peter. And today we remember the call of Jesus upon his life. And we listen for what it says to our own calling. Let us imagine ourselves this morning on the shores of Lake Galilee. Let us witness again in our mind's eye these events which Luke records in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. We heard that one day as Jesus was standing by the lake with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. It's a beautiful scene, a scene created out of necessity, as Jesus commandeers this fishing boat and makes it into his pulpit. And from that day to this, the prow of a boat is called the pulpit. And now the whole crowd on that shore can listen to Jesus in this natural amphitheater. Jesus commands their attention. He makes the word of God in that moment accessible to all. Jesus taught the people from the shallows of the lake. And there's a lesson for us as a church. We must strive always to make the word of God accessible to all. Think about how you first heard the word of God, how it was made accessible to you. Isn't it true that we begin in the shallows, teaching at the edge, where unbelief meets belief, where the teachings of Jesus gently lap at our human experience. Jesus meets us. We hear his voice in the shallows, at the edge of our knowledge. But he doesn't leave us there. With Simon, he says, "Come deeper." He takes us a little bit deeper into that knowledge of who he is and his call on our lives. And that's just what happened next, as we read in verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." So as Jesus has finished teaching the crowds and they begin to disperse, Jesus still has business to do with Simon Peter and those disciples. Everything was about to change for them. put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. But in verse 5, we hear Simon's response, Master. And that's important, Master. Peter knows who he's talking to. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Peter says, Lord, we haven't caught anything. We've worked hard all night. We can sense his frustration. There are days like that, aren't there? Even for expert fishermen, this was his job. This was what he was good at. But it was just one of those days, one of those nights where nothing went well, nothing went right. So we understand Simon's reluctance. I wonder whether you can identify with Simon Peter this morning. Perhaps there are times when you have complained to the Lord, when you have worked hard, but you have little to show for all of your efforts, when tiredness sets in. But Jesus is the Master. He is over us. He is over our situation. We do his bidding. And with Simon Peter, our complaint can turn into compliance. But because you say, Lord, I will let down the nets. I'm sure he was thinking inside, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. I can't see us catching anything. I don't know what you're thinking or why you are asking me to do this, but you are in charge. You know best. I will trust and obey. And sometimes in life, we just have to say that very thing. Because you say so, I will do it. And friends, isn't it Simon's compliance and obedience that opens the door to this miracle? If he had just gone home, he would have missed out on so much. So we read on there in verse 6 and 7. When they had done so, when they had let down their nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. What a wonderful surprise. Their joy and their laughter would have echoed right around Lake Galilee. And that crowd that had begun to disperse would have heard this and perhaps turned around and come and see what was happening. What a harvest of fish, caught in broad daylight when fish were meant to be hiding. They caught such an enormous harvest of fish, abundantly more than they could have ever hoped for. They were overwhelmed. Peter had a full boat, and we have that up on the screen. What a lesson. Jesus showed them in this moment that he was the Lord. The catch was all his own work. He is the Lord of creation. He could have filled those boats with every fish in Lake Galilee had he wanted to. It was at his word that those nets were filled. At his command, on his authority. And friends, the fullness of those nets, the fullness of the boat, tells us of the fullness of God found in Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote in Colossians 2, verse 9, the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. More than just a man, here is the Son of God who would do even greater things, even rising from the dead. And this miraculous catch of fish would be repeated after his resurrection, as we read in John chapter 21. Here is the fullness of God found in Jesus. And isn't it true, on that day and on to this day, that Jesus brings his fullness to our emptiness? He brings his fullness to our emptiness. You see, Jesus knew more about fishing and fish than Simon did. Jesus knew more. And you know, Jesus knows more than you and I know today. He is the Master. He is the Lord. And why do I say that? I say that because there are for you hidden resources, unseen spiritual resources that are not far away from us, just as those fish were just below the surface. I haven't got time this morning to name all of those spiritual resources, but I'm sure you know them. Resources that are found only in Jesus. Strength beyond our own strength. Wisdom beyond our own knowledge. Life beyond our own powers. Healing beyond our own strength. And how did Simon respond in that moment when he was overwhelmed, when his boat was full? Well, we read in verse 8 to 10. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Simon Peter has a full heart in this moment. And that's the next point. He has a full heart. A boat full of fish and a heart full of shame. He falls at the feet of his master in confession. Peter is knee-deep in fish. Not a very nice place to be. Knee-deep in fish, shrinking from the holiness of the Lord Almighty. He tells Jesus to leave him alone in his sin. And can we not hear in Simon Peter the echo of Isaiah? "Woe to me, I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." Wouldn't we be the same as Peter? Wouldn't we just want to run and hide, blinded by his light and glory? But how does Jesus respond? Well, he responds in mercy, in love, and speaks a tender word to Simon and to you and to me this morning. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And this would be a moment that would be repeated. In fact, when you think about it, this episode at the lake is like Peter's life in a day. For he hears the call, not for the first time. He realizes his sin, not for the first time. And he is commissioned, not for the first time. Here is the life of Peter in a moment. He didn't know what an amazing work of cleansing and forgiveness and mission that Jesus would do in his life from this day onwards. We see Peter's humanity here, his weakness. We know that he would go on to deny his Lord three times and be forgiven and restored three times by the risen Lord. And this speaks to the wonderful mercy and cleansing work of God. And I think that's pointed out in verse 2, as it began, where Jesus found them washing their nets. And that points us to the washing away of sins. Blessed are those who wash their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7 and 22. And this morning, we may feel, with Simon, very aware of our sin. We may come here guilty. We do not learn easily from our mistakes. We do not obey fully. We feel unworthy to have the living Lord Jesus near us. But we can today hear his gentle voice saying, "Don't be afraid. Be at peace." If you have a full heart this morning, pour it out to the Lord. He knows what's in there anyway. We can't hide and we don't need to. We can pour it out to the Lord. Be honest to God. In verse 10 and 11, Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." You will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore. What did they do with all those fish? No doubt they shared them out. It was the last day of trading for these fishermen, in one sense. They pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. A full boat, a full heart, and now a full response. Indeed, a full-time job. Simon's life takes a new direction from this moment on. Jesus commissions him to do a very different kind of deep sea fishing, to catch people, to bring in a harvest of lives into the kingdom of God. And this harvest of fish anticipated Pentecost, where Peter spoke and a huge harvest of people responded, thousands added to their number that day. But not without its cost. This commission would make great demands of Simon Peter, even his life. There would be many times that he and the disciples would find themselves in deep water. It was no easy calling. They were the frontline troops in a battle. And so it is with you and with me this morning. You are called. You have a commission. It may be a commission that was given to you years ago that you are still fulfilling. It may be a new calling today. But Jesus commissions you to begin or to continue. We have a calling to fulfill. And that begins today and tomorrow, wherever God has placed you, among your family, among your friends, upon your work colleagues. That is where our calling lies. And Jesus says, come, follow me. So it's time for us to leave the shores of Galilee. Today we pray, Lord, give us a full boat, your fullness in our emptiness, your fullness in all circumstances. Today we pray, Lord, our hearts are full. Cleanse us and calm us. And today we pray, Lord, help us to give that full response, leaving behind what we must and follow you. Amen. Let us pray and reflect on what Jesus is calling us to be and to do this morning. We come before the throne of grace. We confess our sins. We receive God's forgiveness. We see his smile. We respond in love and in praise. We pray, Lord, come and reign in us. Build a throne. Be seated on that throne in authority. Take your rightful place. Amen.